Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, going to verse 10. I'm a display window, or you a display window. That's great responsibility.
Amen.
Great responsibility. I think sometimes our windows are hard to see through because they're kind of smudged sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Kind of smudged sometimes, and we kind of have to keep them cleaned off. If we confess our sins,
yes,
He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleaning the smudges off, yep. You got it, okay. I'm reading verse number 1. Therefore, y'all say, I'm sorry, I got excited. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
All right. Lord Jesus.
For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life.
Amen.
More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have now received reconciliation.
Amen.
Wow. I went past 10, didn't I?
Amen.
I got excited. Amen. 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 For a brief title to some words this morning, the glory of God on display.
Amen.
All right.
The glory of God on display. We could actually substitute glory for the love of God on display.
Amen.
We come upon our text in the previous chapter. We see that Abraham, it is interesting. The Jews were considering Abraham as a good example of their salvation and their nation, and they would point to him always. Now, Abraham was our father, they told Jesus. And they were having a small debate with Jesus. And Jesus said, listen, you guys. Now, if Abraham was your father, you would love me.
Amen.
But you said Abraham is your father, but you really trying to kill me. So who is your father really? Jesus told Peter, After that big revelation, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. And almost in the next breath, Pastor, he rolled up and said, no, you're not going to die. And Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. Now, if you're not for God, you're for somebody else. Who is your real parent? Because if you belong to God, Jesus is your Savior. Previous chapter, Paul the Apostle was saying Abraham was saved by faith. He was not saved by works. He was saved by faith. He believed God, and God counted to him for righteousness. It wasn't because of his circumcision that he was counted among the saved. It was simply because he believed God. And that's interesting because the Old Testament people are not saved different from the New Testament people. We are all saved by what? Faith, grace, through faith. And that is Jesus Christ, period. Text and do you know what? It's a good thing not to be an adversary of God no more. It is a good thing not to be at war with God. Amen. Now listen, I am flesh and blood. I can't manufacture my next breath. My heartbeat is not really in my control. But the Bible says that I was an enemy or an enmity with God. Now, I start off in a deficit. I can't really fight him because who can war with God at all? Nobody. Now, because of what Jesus has done, I am no longer at war with God. A statement says that your arms are too short to box with God. The sense of the whole thing is you don't have the power, you don't have the wisdom to fight God. So, listen, in your right mind, you need to get right with God. Yeah. That's why I'm glad I'm not battling with God no more. And I'm not only not battling with him no more, he has now made peace through Jesus Christ. Yeah. The same peace he made with Abraham, who believed Jesus was coming. Jesus said to those Pharisees again, Pastor, he said, Abraham was glad to see me in his day. And they said, wait a minute, you're not yet 50 years old. What do you mean you saw him? You know all the shadows and types were pointing right to Jesus?
Yeah.
Right to Jesus. He was glad to see him in his day. That's how he got to see him. He trusted God enough not to see him in the flesh, but believed what God said he was coming. He was justified by faith. Listen, I know I'm a little bit off the beaten path, but when you are that belief, when you believe God to that depth, when he tells you to take your only son, the one you've been waiting on, and you're 100 years old, and you ain't had no son of your own, by your wife, you take your son, God say, bring him to me, I want you to sacrifice him on the mountain. Because of what God does in you, and by the faith and the spirit of God living on inside, when he say move, you say I'm moving. Uh-huh. No matter how big the thing you just gave me, I'm going to give it back to you. So, there's nothing that I won't give back to God. If I got to lose a house to go tell my nephews about the gospel when they came to move, when they came to help me to move, if I got to do that for your glory, it's all right.
All right,
When you're in Christ, you don't worry no more about your ease, comfort, and pleasure. You only worry about his glory. Are you glorified? Oh, Jesus, thank you. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 9. Sister Lisa, I want you to read that when you get there. I'm getting in trouble for calling the name, too.
4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his glory and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Yeah. Listen, not only are we a display window for God right now, but the Bible says, in the ages to come, the window will still be shown. Did you hear me? Not only is it now, but it's going to be for the eternity to come, the window will be showing the grace and mercy of God in us. Everybody get it? Clear? Amen. We roll down to verses 3 to 4. It talks about suffering. It talks about suffering. Do you know that the gospel naturally causes some issues? The gospel naturally causes some issues. Because now you're talking about a gospel, a good news, that actually runs across grain to a natural situation. You now have issues because of the gospel, because it in itself causes some problem. It says, verse 3, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering. Before I go any further, I want to go to Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 38, going to verse 42. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 38, going to verse 42. Acts chapter 5. Beginning at verse 38, going to verse 42. This is a strange occurrence. These people are teaching about Jesus, and the Pharisees said, you better stop doing that. And in short, they didn't stop. Moreover, they really wanted to kill him. But they heard the advice of Gamaliel to say, you better leave these guys alone. Because if this is a man, then it will fizzle out. But if this is of God, you can't stop it. You don't want to be seen fighting against God. Because you can't be an adversary of God, because he always wins, Brother John. So if he's for you, Trinity, he's more than the world against you. That's another principle. Acts 5:38-42. Somebody read that for me. Sister Woodmore.
So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men. in and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God,
you
will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them.
Just one more. They beat them. You all catch that.
Yeah.
Now God sent them to give the word and teach in the name of Jesus, and they beat them. The gospel runs cross grain of what the world sees. Even if somebody's in church and they don't know Jesus, they run cross grain of what they believe.
Right.
Go ahead, sister, I'm sorry.
They beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ.
Incredible! Didn't I tell you about Abraham when he went to sacrifice all he had because God told him to do so? You got the same thing rolling up in the New Testament. No matter what you do to me,
no,
I must follow my Savior.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? They got me and they thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we, as I said, you are we get a little suffering. We say, oh, Lord. That's it, Lord. I think I'm gonna bag out of this Christian journey. But if you're in Christ, you are a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right.
Listen to this. This is King James. I want you to listen to it briefly. It says James chapter 1. It says, my brothers, count it on joy.
All right.
When ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Listen, I don't know about you all, but Pastor, I'm guilty. When God is working something out in my life, I'm guilty of getting on my knees and saying, Lord, can you relieve the pressure?
Yeah.
Can you relieve the pressure?
Amen.
Because if you relieve the pressure, I can do what you called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's going on. God needs to finish his work in you.
Yeah.
What he's doing is getting you to the image of Jesus Christ. And you can't stop that process, because if you want to look like Jesus, you got to move on through.
Yeah.
I'm glad God is not he don't look on the exterior. I'm so glad. Because verse number 6 says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But now, if somebody's going to die for me, they say, Billy, you messed up this week. You didn't show Jesus properly. I don't think I'll die for you, because I don't think you're worthy. But listen to me now. Jesus, you being in Christ, as messed up as you were before you came to Christ, he died for the ungodly. That's what the Bible says. So he's not looking at external stuff. He's looking for the good that he can do for you. If I was trying to define the love of God, it's really so deep and deep. It's a big hammer. But basically, what it is, it's actually somebody else's good, no matter what it costs you.
Well,
somebody else's good. This is one of them. Whatever that good is, and whatever it costs you. And if I look at that in light of Jesus Christ, My good was that I needed to get back to God. I couldn't get back there myself. The love of God, the Bible says, what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world until he gave his only begotten Son. Period. The love of Christ brought him into the world, into a fleshly body. A big God, 100% God, 100% man, came into the world to save me and to save you. The love of God actually goes far enough, no matter what it calls. He was even obedient unto the death of the cross. So, let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. I'm almost finished, y'all, so put the rocks down. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 9. Trey, you ready? Are you ready to read? Come on. Huh? Are you ready to read? Smart man. Mind of Christ. If I have the mind of Christ, whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do it. Amen. To be simple about that, whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do it. How can you tell when somebody's filled with the Spirit of God? Do they obey God? Amen. Amen. If you obey God, then you're filled with the Spirit. Because I can't obey God unless the Spirit of God is what leading me.
Amen.
I can't be satisfactory to him unless the Spirit of God has done it. Verse 9, I'm almost finished off. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood. Do you know we actually talked in a previous sermon about the blood sacrifice and the meaning. And the blood, to me, was just an evidence that the thing is dead. It's an evidence that the thing is dead. So it says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, by his death, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. And it's interesting is that, Brother Phil, come in there. I'm sorry. Brother Phil is me. You were in trouble because of what Adam did in the garden. You were separated from God. The wrath of God was on you. Now, the judge says, well, I'm going to justify you. I'm going to make you just in my eyesight. And then, as he vacates his spot, I take his spot. And then by that blood of death, God is now satisfied. He's satisfied. I don't have to worry about it no more because this sacrifice is good enough for him to be satisfied. That's why I'm free. I'm free because Jesus stood in my place.
Thank you, Lord.
Preach the word.
And not only that, did he take my place, Rosefield. He died for me. He not only died, but they buried him. And the good part about it is that he got up. Because if he did not get up, there would be no stamp of approval. And I'd still be in trouble. But he got up. And when he got up with all power. That's what the Bible says. And if he gets up with all power, well, I now have a chance to live. Not only am I saved from the wrath of God, but now I can live like I'm supposed to live. Hebrews 7:25, and I'm through. I keep saying that. Hebrews 7:25, and I'm through. It's amazing, y'all. It's amazing. Lord, have mercy. Not only did he get up, but I was found in him. And he has entered into that final holy of holies, which is heaven before God, appearing before God. And guess what? I'm seated with him. That's what the Bible says. Amazing. As messed up as I am. Seated with Christ. He's the final high priest. The final mediator. And then my motive for service is wrapped up in him. And then the love of God is displayed through him. Okay, Hebrews 7:25. And I'll sit down. Hebrews 7:25. So today, you need to look at it. You need to look at it.
Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Listen, not only is he in the Holy of Holies, but he's making intercession on my behalf. I got somebody in front of God the Father making intercession on my behalf. What? I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. If I mess up, he's there interceding for me. And you,
what a savior,
complete saving. I see a sticker that says Jesus saves completely. Yeah, you're right. Completely. I'm saved. I'm free. No matter what you say, I'm free. No matter what, listen, it's not only what you say. Sometimes I say myself, I'm not, how in the world can I be saved? I'm not the one who died. It is Christ the one who died.
All right, now.
If he said it, I better believe it. Amen. The love of God on display. Famous and barred windows with no smears on the window. Taking a look in to see, I hope they see Jesus. God bless you.